Genesis chapter 13. Last time we considered this passage of scripture, we beheld the Lord's bringing Abram back to the place where his tent had been in the land of Canaan before he sojourned in Egypt, back to the place of the altar, back where he had worshiped God, called on the name of the Lord, Bethel, on his west side, Hai on his east, and there he beheld that place that was a reminder of what a believer is in this world. The house of bread, a heap of ruins. And the Lord, who worketh, the scripture says, ever working, all things after the counsel of his own will, was pleased to use the means of a heathen king to get Abram back to the land of Canaan. He says in verse 18 and 19 of chapter 12, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way." You know, I thought about that scripture as I was going over my notes, and I thought, you know, he had told a half-truth, is what he did. She was his half-sister. They had the same daddy, different mamas. And so she was actually, technically, his sister, half-sister. But she was his wife, which took a great precedent over her position toward Abram. And I thought to myself, when he told that Pharaoh that, and Pharaoh told him, "Why'd you do this to me?" I mean, humanly speaking, he could have had him killed. I mean, you know, he lied to the king. But Psalm 76:10, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain." I'm so thankful that the Lord holds back the wrath of men that, according to the scriptures, hate the people of God. "You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake." And it's the restraining hand of God that protects, keeps God's people. So now here we are. We're going to continue, and we're going to find the situation after Abram and Lot have now gone back. They've gone out of Egypt. Now they're back in Canaan, the place where they were. And the situation between Abram and Lot is going to be one of great trial. The scripture says in 5-7 of 13, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land." Now, the reason for their quarrel was their wealth. Both men had acquired much wealth. The scripture says concerning Pharaoh, when Abram told Pharaoh, this is my sister. The scripture says, verse 16 of chapter 12, and he, that is Pharaoh, entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, asses, men servants, maid servants, she asses, and camels. And then the scripture says in chapter 13 and verse 5 concerning Lot, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So we find out that these two men had gone down into Egypt, and by the good providence of God that works all things, as we said, after the counsel of his own will, he blessed them with great substance. And so great was the substance between these two men, the scripture says they couldn't dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. And the scripture reveals something else that is very, very revealing. In the bottom part of verse 7 in chapter 13, it says, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Now, what was the significance of that? Well, there was strife, verse 7. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And there were Canaanites and Perizzites that dwelled in the tent, and they saw the strife. They beheld what was going on between the workers of Lot and Abram. Now, these men that didn't know God, these Canaanites, Perizzites, they're watching. And let us remember something. We're in this world, and the scripture says we're not of it. God's people are not of it. But we're observed by those who are unbelievers. You remember, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. You know the story. You know where I'm going with this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. When David took Bathsheba. And, well, let's just read it. He had taken Bathsheba and got rid of her husband. And here's what the Lord did. He sent a prophet to David. He says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 9 to 14, he's speaking to David through the prophet Nathan. And Nathan says, verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So here's Abram's herdman and Lot's herdmen, and because of their wealth, because there was so much that they had, the land was not bearing it, and there was strife between them. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite saw it. They beheld it. And let's learn here. Riches, though they appear to the world to be always a blessing, can certainly be found to be a snare and cause of strife and division. Money. Don't ever think that people, you know, you can talk to family members. And family members, you know, as long as maybe the parents are still alive, they'll say, you know, boy, I tell you what, we'd never let money come between us. Well, I can tell you this, that's usually not the way it is. It's usually strife. It's usually an argument over it. The scripture says, 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Abram's removal from Ur, the city of the Chaldees, this city in Chaldea, drew his family closer. They were very tight. They traveled together, and they were directed down to Canaan. They built an altar there, and they worshipped. And so that being separated out of his country drew them together. But earthly possessions is what proved to be a point of contention between them. But with the contention between the members of the family, the Spirit of God moved upon Abram to say something unto Lot in a spirit of meekness and sympathy and kindness, compassion, wisdom. Here it was. It was there was a strife, verse 7, between the herdmen and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land, and they seeing it, it was pretty obvious. And the scripture says in verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. You know, we'd like to think that there would never be any strife, any division in our families. But I'll tell you for a fact, the scripture bears out that's not the way it always is. David had strife in his family. That's why he said, though my house be not so with God. He had a son that wanted to kill him, dethrone him. And you take Jacob and Esau. And there's strife. You know, the faith of God's people is going to be tried. It's going to be tried and often in ways that we would never pick. And one of the hardest burdens to bear is strife within your family. When listen, Abram and Lot were believers. They were believers. Abraham believed God. God made a covenant with him. And the scripture says concerning Lot, just Lot. Justified Lot. If God wouldn't have said that, we might have some reason to doubt, Neil. But God said he was a believer. And here's these two believers, members of the same family, uncle, nephew. And our the faith of God's people is going to be tried and often in the tenderest ways. Even with your own family. Oh, when trials come. Let's remember, God's not the author of confusion. But the Lord may be pleased to permit trials to come to show us, to show His people. You're going to find comfort and stability, happiness and joy nowhere else but in me, in Him. Only the rock upon which a believer stands is going to be the rock of security. All other securities, all other joys are going to be proven to play second fiddle, if I can say it like that. We love our families, we do. But when we go through and see a tight-knit, closely knit family and the Lord allows us to see ourselves for what we really are, I'm telling you, that's when you're going to realize that God Almighty is Lord in heaven and earth. The Lord, that He might receive all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, we're going to learn from this strife and division that Almighty God is the one to whom we look alone. Two believers, two men loved and chosen of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, called by God's Spirit, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, but they were shown to be frail creatures of the dust. And a quarrel developed between their workers, and the strife came to a head to where these two men had to separate because of it, because of what was going on. The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land, and the escalation of the tension would do nothing but bring a reproach unto the gospel, unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abram, a man sensitive to the whole situation, he came to Lot and he said, "Lot, we're brethren. Let there be no strife. You take what you want. You take what you want." Now the Lord had promised this land to Abram's seed. He said, "I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to give this to your seed. It's going to be yours forever." And Abram says to him, You take what you want. It ain't worth this." Oh, what an example of faith. What a statement of trusting God to lay his heart bare before Lot. And he said, "Lot, we're both believers. What are we squabbling about? What's this, you take what seems best to you." Brethren, let us learn, when the glory of God is the issue and men, because of their pride, would rather quarrel over that which is fleeting. This is temporal. What do you think that grass right now, back where they were, what do you think it means now, right now? But at that moment, it was a big deal. It was a big, big deal. And what Abram was saying, he said, "Listen, I'd rather separate, give you what you want and separate from you, rather than give the enemies of God a reason to blaspheme God's honor." God is teaching Abram something, and Abram's saying something. "Listen, we've worshiped together, we fellowshiped together, and we now we're going to squabble over grass? This can't be." So here now Lot's come to a crossroad. And Abram tells him, he said, "Now I want you choose what you want." And the choice was over something, as I said, that was worldly. It was worldly. And what a painful position to be in. Abram told him, "You pick what you want. We've got a squabble here, and you tell me what you want. You choose this, I'll take this. You choose that, I'll take this. What do you want?" You know, hold your place there. No, I'll read it to you. It's in 1 Chronicles, chapter 21:1. It was a time when the Scripture says, 1 Chronicles 21:1, Satan had stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the people. And David did. He was tempted to number the people. for whatever reason. And the scripture says that God was displeased with the thing, that David numbered the people. And David found himself. God sent word to him. And David found himself in a crossroad. He's in a place, he's in a great strait now. He's numbered the people. God's displeased. And the Lord sent word to David to a prophet named Gad. And this is what he stated that David was to choose. He said, "I want you to make up your mind. You tell me what you want. Do you want 2 Samuel 24:13? You want 7 years of famine? Or shall you flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or 3 days of pestilence in the land?" Now here's what God told him. God told him this. "And you choose what you want. You make the choice." And David did the wisest thing he could possibly do. He cast himself upon the mercy of God, and he said unto Gad, "I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." The wisest thing that at this particular place right here Lot could have done was to say back to Abram what Abram said to Lot. No. You're God's man. You've taught me. God's taught me through you. And the Lord's promised this to your seed. No, you take what you want. But Scripture says that Abram, telling Lot to you take what you want, and proving what a believer's conduct ought to be, to trust the Lord to direct providentially while we esteem others better than ourselves. And what security and peace and comfort would be found there? No, you choose. I don't want to pick. I don't want to pick. You pick. And Abram was striving as much as possible to live peaceably with all men, but he was more concerned with the glory of God and the honor of the gospel than the privilege to pick the grass. What he wanted to do was he wanted to wait on the Lord, to worship the Lord, and when it comes to, it's all about me. It's all about me. Abram said, "You pick what you want." And when it comes to where it's about me, myself, and I, surely, for a believer, especially, I can say this: there's going to be some chastisement. There's going to be some correcting. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And you know, Lord willing, these next few weeks we're going to be looking at what happened, and because of what Lot chose. Verse 10 to 13: Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Boy, what a verse of separation. What a laying down of the what's really going on here. Lot observed and considered and made his choice based on lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's what he did. He looked out there and he chose Sodom. That looks good to me. That looks good. I think that's what I'll pick. That's the lush place. And here was a place that was soon to be judged. A place where, by and large, all the inhabitants of that place, the scripture says they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I don't doubt one second, Lot knew nothing of the judgment that would come to that place. He knew nothing of his soul that would be vexed every day. He soon would feel that striving and that turmoil within. But this is the lot. When in believers, especially believers, I'm talking about, when they wait not upon the Lord, and we choose that which seems best to the flesh at the expense of seeking the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, where place where the Lord had led him and placed him, where God blessed him. And he worshiped God. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And there was plenty of water and there was plenty of grass, but there was no altar. It doesn't say anything about an altar, no believers there to where he could fellowship. But when we come to a crossroads, we come to a place where we've got to make a decision. We come there all the time. But when we come to a place seeking the Lord's direction, let us ask this. Is this decision I'm going to make, am I going to violate any revealed word of Scripture? Am I going to violate anything on this Scripture? Well, I mean, if you can see something in the Word of God and the decision you're making violates that Scripture, that's a pretty good indication. That's not the right decision. That's pretty cut and dry right there. Will it violate any Scripture? Secondly, will it hinder my ability to meet with God's people in worship? Is it going to hinder? Am I going somewhere where there's no place to worship? And thirdly, if I can't find anything in the Scripture that I'm violating, and there is a place, just ask yourself this. Do I believe that this decision is according to God's leadership and direction? Somebody asked me something. You know, I'm thinking about doing so. I said, let me ask you this. Do you believe that's what God wants you to do? That's my first question that comes out of my mouth. Is this what you believe the Lord wants you to do? I've told you before I came here, I met with a group of men, talked to me, asked me to consider coming here, and this was in late January, 2003, and Glenda and I got married in March of 2003, moved to Franklin, staying there. And people knew that I was coming here, and they'd asked me, said, what do you think about going to Katy? I said, I don't think anything. I don't feel any direction to go, and I don't feel any direction to not go. I don't feel anything. I'm just trying to be honest. And it wasn't until late June I felt in my heart, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. I felt, you know, and I didn't, after I felt this was the right thing to do, I had complete liberty to do it. If I'd have got a truck and started loading up, and I didn't have any leadership of the Lord, I'd been tore all to pieces. I couldn't settle down. I'm bad enough now. Ask Glenda. I mean, trying to settle down, I'm just all over the place. But if I'm settled, this is what I need to do. This, you know, whatever you do, is it according to Scripture? Will it hinder my ability to meet with God's people? And do I believe that this is according to the will of the Lord? Well, after Lot left, I'll wrap this up. The Lord spoke to Abram. Lot left. And the Scripture says, verses 14 to 18, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the land plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Here's another gracious visit by the Lord that was paid to this man Abram. The Lord confirmed his promise unto the object of his mercy, and Lot had separated himself from Abram, but God came to Abram, and as a token of his favor, he promised. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And Abram, in submission unto the Lord, you know, he let Lot choose what he wanted, but the Lord came to Abram. He let Lot do what he wanted to do, and by telling Lot, you choose what you want, Abram was exhibiting his trust in God. He believed God. He believed the Lord was going to order these things. And the Lord blessed it. The Lord blessed it. It was for his glory. And we remember relations in this life may be separated from us. I think of all the in families, all of the strifes, and there's times that there's just divisions. But what Abram chose was God's way. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He bowed to God's pleasure, and he received God's blessing. And Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, and Abram dwelt in the plain of Mamre and built an altar there, and he worshiped the Lord. I said, remember, both these men are believers. They're both believers. Not like one of them was an unbeliever. But we learn from this. We learned when we come to positions in this life, our faith's going to be tested. And when it's tested, bow to the good pleasure of God. May the Lord teach me to do that. This is what I need to learn. And I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for his glory and our good. Amen. All right.